You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll talk about a new study showing American parents are less happy than parents in other nations.
Now, a new study from the Urban Institute in Washington found evidence that teens in the U.S. are trading sex for food. Researchers focused on 10 communities, both urban and rural, and found teens engaging in what's called transactional dating, where sexual favors are traded for a meal. The study results paint a picture of teenagers as particularly vulnerable when it comes to food scarcity and hunger.
Susan Popkin joins us now. She's a senior fellow and director of the Neighborhoods and Youth Development Initiative in the Metropolitan Housing and Communities Policy Center at the Urban Institute. Susan, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, what did your study find about teenagers in the U.S. trading sex so that they could eat?
Well, that is the most sensational finding that we had, but really the whole study looked at the issues around teens and food insecurity. And I think even before getting into the kinds of risky behaviors that seems to make some teens seem to be vulnerable to, what we found that I found most shocking was the extent to which teens across the country are experiencing food insecurity, are familiar with it, and how normalized it has become in low-income communities, as you said, from rural areas to inner-city communities across the country.
And it sounded as though there was a set of language and behaviors around hunger that, as you said, was something that wasn't just happening in one place, but teens across the country were engaging in these kinds of behavior to keep food in their bellies and sometimes food in the bellies of their family.
Yeah, really what came through in our research is a sense of that a number of teens are getting pushed into sort of an expedited adulthood where they are worrying along with their parents about the incomes, you know, the money coming into the house. They're worrying about their younger siblings. They go hungry so that their younger brothers and sisters can eat. And they put themselves at risk in lots of ways, including going hungry, which affects their school performance. Some of them drop out of school, and then some of them get pushed into this riskier behaviors. For the boys, it tended to be more from stealing small kinds of things like shoplifting. Even we heard about gangs and drug dealing, even in the rural communities. We heard some of the kids were familiar with kids who'd gotten involved with that. And then what you started with was we heard in every community we went to that kids were familiar with the phenomenon of girls getting pushed into transactional dating or being sexually exploited in order to find an older guy who could give them money, buy them food, help out their family. Now, we don't know how many kids this is affecting. It's certainly not all food insecure kids. But the fact that kids in every community we went to were familiar with these issues, were knew about it, that nowhere we went to said, oh, that doesn't happen here, really was shocking to me.
Yeah, I know you've said
poverty research for 30 years.
Yeah, you said, I read that you've worked in low-income communities a long time, looked at the risk of sexual exploitation for women in these communities. But this seemed new. Why did that surprise you?
Well, it surprised me because we've heard about these kinds of sad things happening for kids who are out on the street, for homeless kids. But this is the first time we had heard about this happening for kids who are stably housed, living with their families. And in some cases, the families were living in public housing and getting housing subsidies. And it says to me there's just things have gone wrong. We know the economy has changed, and a lot of low-wage, low-income families are only able to access jobs that don't pay enough or jobs that don't offer enough hours or offer unstable hours. We also know that TANF, the welfare benefits, have been cut dramatically, so very few people are getting cash assistance anymore. And we know that rental prices have risen all across the country. Here in Wisconsin, there's been a big study of eviction in Milwaukee, and that just reflects what's happening all over the country as low-income families are struggling to pay rent and afford housing, and budgets are really stretched. And so I think what we were seeing is the fallout from that.
We're talking with Susan Popkin right now from the Urban Institute, and she's joining us to talk about a new study across the country, looked at 10 different communities and how teenagers deal with issues of food scarcity and hunger, including the new finding that teenagers in the United States are sometimes trading sex for food. So for for teenagers, especially girls, how does this sort of transactional dating, it sounds like a euphemism, but trading sex for food, how does that end up affecting these girls' lives and maybe their criminal records?
So I wanted to stress that we were asking, these were focus groups, so we weren't asking kids about themselves. I've done other research looking more at these issues. They call it dating, so that's the word we use. They say they are dating older guys. And, they're teenagers, and they are very clear that they're not engaging in something that's more formalized kind of criminal behavior. And how it affects them is when one of the things that I think concerns us is that girls can get arrested and that they get treated as status offenders instead of getting the kind of help and support that they need. And of course, that's happening to the boys who are getting arrested for the drug dealing or stealing or other things that they're engaged in as well. And I think there is a push in the Justice Department right now to take a more trauma-informed approach to kids who end up in the system that way, especially with all the research that's been coming out about how kids of color disproportionately end up getting charged with these kinds of status offenders or ending up with harsher punishments. So I hope that this will be something that people take into account when they're looking at kids who end up in trouble.
What do you mean by a trauma-informed approach?
Instead of arresting kids, they're putting them in juvenile hall, getting them into counseling and support, try to find out what's going on.
And what does your organization recommend as far as starting to turn some of these trends around?
The Urban Institute doesn't recommend anything, but we recommend evidence from our report. We think there are some things that are sort of quick fixes. One would be changing the SNAP program so that it takes into account that a 14-year-old needs more food than a 4-year-old. Right now, SNAP benefits, food stamps, are calculated just on the number of kids in the household. Another thing that's been tried and should be expanded is expanding summer benefits for families when kids don't get free lunch and free breakfast at school, making sure that the benefits go up in the summer to account for that. Those are sort of quick, easy fixes. I think that there's also, I believe my colleague Elaine Waxman, who wrote the other companion report, recommends things like teens even getting their own electronic benefits cards so they can get their own food. Then some of the things that we did and I found most hopeful, we're working with a group of kids in Portland, Oregon right now, having them design a teen-friendly food intervention. And they actually are running a harvest share program for their community. That's what they came up with. And you can see they feel very empowered. They feel like they're part of the solution and not part of the problem. And so more approaches that engage teens, that are easy for them to access. There are places around the country that are putting pantries in high schools. Anything we can do to reduce the stigma and make it easier for kids to access. We have to remember we are talking about teenagers, and the developmental stage they are at is where being different is just horrible, right? And they really don't want to be seen as the kid who is in need. So if there's a pantry in their school that's discreet or that any kid mm-hmm. can access, that's going to feel a lot better to them than having to go to a pantry.
Susan, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That was Susan Popkin from the Urban Institute talking about teenagers and food scarcity.
And coming up, a new study shows that American parents can be less happy than their peers. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
This is Central Time.